when we are so busy chasing dollars, just for the sake of chasing dollars, that we close ourselves off to opportunities that could completely transform our lives if we were willing to see them that way. True wealth comes in the form of abundance.
Yes.
And that abundance is an abundance mentality. That is, I have abundance in my life. I have abundance in my time. I have abundance in my relationships with others.
Mm-hmm.
I am abundant in my attitude. I just think that glossy super image that gets created and the instant gratification that we create in our, you know, 160 word posts or whatever they are, it's part of what creates this scarcity mentality.
Welcome to the Empower Your Life show. I'm Cindy Marie, your host, a coach, speaker, and singer. And I'm here to help you discover the amazing power of embracing your true voice. Along with our guests, we're here to genuinely express, not to impress. Come along as we share useful tips and uplifting stories to boost your confidence and inspire you to live your fullest life. Whether you're facing career shifts or pursuing personal growth, we're here to support you every step of the way. Let's start this journey together. Today's episode is one of many that really grabs my attention, and I'm eager to hear what other amazing leaders have to say about the true meaning of wealth. Many of us might have our own ideas about it, and sometimes we find ourselves always chasing after it. Whether you've been tuning in for a while or if this is your first time joining us, I want to give you a big welcome and thank you for being here with us. Our next guest, Marva Sadler. Her ethos, be good and do good, guides her strategic pathways in all endeavors. She's an award-winning, results-driven, and tenacious senior executive who has delivered multi-billion dollar total impacts and unlocked the potential of hundreds of path-breaking organizations across some of the most competitive sectors, including automotive, clean energy, education, finance, healthcare, and philanthropy. Committed to achieving goals and employing innovative strategies, she transforms organizations into thriving entities. Through her disruptor mindset and deep expertise, she cultivates a legacy of sustainable growth, efficiency, and innovation. Let's unlock abundance through navigating the real meaning of wealth with Marva Sadler. Marva, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for inviting me. I'm really excited to be here. I love your topic.
Thank you. Thank you. So let's start in, right? So Marva, you've been a C-suite leader, executive strategies consultant, and acting as a chief operating officer of Coaches Rising and chief revenue officer of Homecoming. For many of people watching or listening right now who have yet to know your story, could you share with us what led you to where you are right now?
I will do my best and I'll try to keep it short. I started my career as a strategy consultant in mm-hmm. big strategy organization, Bain & Company. I fell in love with problem solving, you know, looking at really difficult problems and finding a creative solution that did more than just solve the problem. It actually created value and created additional pathways forward.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I realized that most companies didn't know how to do that, and especially big companies could get stuck. And small companies, frequently they don't have the knowledge or the capability to figure out some of those very difficult challenges.
Mm-hmm.
Over the course of my career, I found that I like small companies more than I like big companies because I don't really love politics. I love getting stuff done,
yes,
and
yes.
I love seeing people be more successful, be happier, be more productive, be more creative. But not necessarily, I don't necessarily live to make more money for shareholders. So I've really focused on in small companies, and I've had the opportunity over the last several years to really immerse myself in the coaching business in various forms because I joined because I wanted to make a difference to civil discourse. I believe that our world is deteriorating in terms of our ability to have common courtesies for each other and to have friendly, caring, civil conversations with people that we might not agree with on some of their beliefs or you know, principles. Our political leaders can't help us because they're the ones causing the problem. And our religious leaders don't help us because most of them don't have enough influence anymore. So where do we go to change people's mindsets, to open themselves up to the possibility that we can have conversations with people, not just shout at each other?
Yes.
And that's how I ended up in the coaching world, was because I believed that the most likely path to civil discourse was to help leaders, business leaders, understand that having healthy cultures and treating their people well was the best path to success, and that the best way to persuade leaders about that was through coaches who have daily contact with those leaders.
Yeah. I agree with all what you said. And I think, I mean, that's also one of the reasons why I left corporate world. It's because I just couldn't. I remember this very clearly. I asked myself, is it what it takes to really climb the ladder that I have to have this thick face or like filter, you know, that I am not being who I am just to go through the positions that I'm aiming for? And I'm like, no, that's really against my core values. So I completely understand you're coming from. And, you know, like I'm seeking for that leaders that would really empower you in terms of curiosity, you know, exploration. And the previous companies that I have worked with, Marva, they have challenged that. Well, actually, they have fueled me to continuously being myself instead of, you know, validating myself from external, because many of them have been telling me, with your attitude, you're not going to go anywhere. And I was like, wow. And I'm a person that loves challenges. So when someone told me that, thank you, I'll take that as a challenge. And I guess that's where I am right now. Also, you know, advancing the coaching, because I truly believe that coaching, in my opinion, really one of the key factors to help others to understand that there's so many ways that we can have a great conversation without, you know, going in through, well, argument is okay, right? However, the main importance is focusing on the solutions, as what you said. You want to make sure that solutions will be taking action rather than, you know, taking all of this narrative that doesn't really make sense, that holding back the success or the thriving of the business. So thank you for sharing that.
You know, I too have had experiences where I was told that my attitude was going to be wrong or was not going to get us where we wanted to go. I've had other senior executives tell me that I needed to quit caring about the people. I needed to quit coddling them. And I quite honestly took offense at, you know, being accused of coddling people. I believe I respect people. And I also fundamentally believe that the development of the people leads to development of the organization, that there is no development of the organization without helping the people be more successful at the things that they're good at. And that, you know, there is work out there that says culture beats strategy every time. And I believe that. And I believe that a healthy culture starts with healthy respect for the individuals that you're working with. And I believe that we can have discussions and differences of opinion that lead to productive outcomes, not just to anger and bitterness. So that's kind of where I come from. I fundamentally believe that the only thing that really matters in our life is our relationship with other people. Everything else, our business, the work that we do, you know, everything else outside of our relationships with other people is just an artificial construct that we created to give ourselves excuses to interact with people.
Yes. Oh, I love that, because the next question that I'm about to ask you somehow related to what many of us also having, what do you call this? Like, not having a fulfillment in life because of the understanding of this word, wealth, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm super curious, Marva, what does wealth truly mean to you? And do you think that most of us really not having that deeper understanding of its meaning?
I believe that a number of the psychological, mental health, emotional health problems that we see today stem from our misunderstanding of wealth.
Hmm.
We live in a culture that is so focused on financial wealth. It's focused on, how do I hustle faster? How do I work harder? How do I spend more time? How do I make myself more efficient? Not so that I have time off, but how do I make myself more efficient so that I can work more, so that I can do more, so that I can have a side hustle, so I can make more money? And why do I make more money? So I can have more stuff. And why do I have more stuff? So that I can prove that I have money. I mean, it's a really unhealthy cycle. And I actually believe that true wealth comes in the form of abundance.
Yes.
And that abundance is an abundance mentality. That is, I have abundance in my life. I have abundance in my time. I have abundance in my relationships with others.
Mm-hmm.
I am abundant in my attitude, that I am open to new experience, and I am open to what the world has to give me or offer me. And I'm open to seeing it when it arrives.
Mm-hmm.
And I honestly think that when we are so busy chasing dollars, just mm-hmm. for the sake of chasing dollars, that we close ourselves off to opportunities that could completely transform our lives if we were willing to see them that way.
Yeah, it's true. I agree. And speaking of the understanding of many of us in terms of wealth, do you think that it causing us worse when it comes to social media? Because everyone could like filter and all of this, and our understanding what success or wealth means is different. What's your thoughts about social media that giving us maybe a lot of people having anxiety or depression because of what they see?
I see so many people constructing artificial lives, artificial realities, and then believing those artificial realities for themselves and for others. I am a contrarian. I don't participate in social media. I don't have an Instagram account. I've never looked at Twitter. I don't have a Facebook account. I use LinkedIn professionally. I don't use any other social media. And I refuse to participate. I tell my children, if they want me to see pictures of the grandchildren, they can text me, they can email me, they can send it to me snail mail. But I just think that glossy super image that gets created and the instant gratification that we create in our, you know, 160 word posts or whatever they are, it's part of what creates this scarcity mentality that causes us to accelerate our needs and escalate what is required, because what was okay yesterday is no longer okay because somebody else came out with something that's better, cheaper, faster, prettier. You know, we're constantly comparing ourselves to unreal expectations and to reality that's been so curated and transformed and morphed and polished that it doesn't represent reality. we see young women with body dysmorphia because of the pictures that they see on social media that are not real to begin with.
Yeah.
And we have a whole culture that's built around artificiality. I remember talking to a CEO once when I was a senior executive, and watching him struggle, and I, being a kind of truth teller, I was in a meeting with him one day, and I said, "It must be so hard to project that holographic image of yourself all the time. Mm-hmm. You know, you're so busy projecting what you want people to believe about you, the energy, the positivity, that we're nowhere close to who you really are. We're just looking at this holographic image that you're projecting on the wall." And it wasn't received very well, which is not surprising. But since that time, that was, you know, probably 25 years ago almost. Since that time, everybody's got into the business of projecting the holographic images of who they want people to believe they are. That has very little to do with who they really are. And I think that that is absolutely antithetical to really finding wealth in abundance.
Oh, love it. And just to kind of share with you my experience with social media, and I think you are aware with the algorithm, with all of these things. And I'm like seeing a lot of entrepreneurs out there, like being so caught up in this trap. And I'm like, no. I think it goes deep into our core values, because I always remind myself that it's not sustainable. I mean, and the business that I am working on, it's not just 4 or 5 years, it's for long term. So if I'm going to do that constantly, do I actually make myself more free? I don't think so. I will be more trapped or becoming in prison, you know? And so I see so many coaches, and it just makes me feel like, why are you doing what you're doing? And you know, deep inside of you, it's not sustainable. And this is why I'm a big advocate of authenticity, because if you're authentic, you have nothing to prove yourself. You know who you are within you, and you're really sharing to people that it is safe to be authentic and who you are. But of course, it takes courage, right? And a lot of people, I mean, we all know this, those people who are really sharing the authentic self will be very, very little number of people, but everything else will be here. And it's not easy, but I think for me personally, it's very, very liberating, because I have nothing to prove. Okay, you guys can do all of these things, but I'm not going to play the game that you're playing.
I love what you just pointed out in terms of, you know, freedom and the freedom that comes from being authentic, and the fact that so much of what we're spending is not sustainable. It doesn't generate freedom. And freedom is one of those principles of abundance. Mm-hmm. I can do with so much less if I'm enjoying what I do have. And that includes my relationships, mm-hmm. which come with, you know, deeply connecting with people, which has to do with authenticity. It comes with how I spend my time, whether that's, you know, whatever I'm spending my time on, do I truly enjoy it? And that comes from having the freedom and the flexibility to actually sit with whatever the thing is that I'm doing and experiencing it fully and enjoying it fully, rather than hurrying through because I need to get through it to the other side. I used to talk about it in terms of, you know, how fast can we run on the hamster wheel? That, you know, as we push for more productivity, as we push for better utilization of our hours in our day, we're just running faster on the hamster wheel, because we still wake up tomorrow and it's still tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And so I ran, you know, 30,000 cycles on my hamster wheel yesterday, and today I'm going to run 32,000 cycles. I'm still going to end up in the same place, because it's not real progress if what we're doing doesn't have meaning in and of itself.
Mm. I love that. And you talk about relationships. Mm-hmm. Marva, in your experience, how does wealth impact relationships?
Well, if we're talking about financial wealth, I think that it has the potential to warp the relationships. Mm-hmm. Our relationship to wealth impacts our relationships to other people. The way that we see the importance of wealth, the way that we use the wealth, the way that we display the wealth can create artificial barriers with other people.
Mm-hmm.
It can also do good. So our relationship with financial wealth has a huge impact on what else we're able to do.
Yes.
You mentioned, as we were getting started, you mentioned Marshall Goldsmith.
Yes.
Marshall Goldsmith has more money than he'll ever be able to get rid of. And what has he done recently? He has offered all of his intellectual property free of charge to anybody who wants to use it. He's made his coaching available in a number of forms free of charge.
Wow.
He is considered the number one executive coach in the world. He has clients who pay him millions of dollars to talk to him. And his attitude is one of complete abundance and freely giving, because his attitude towards wealth. Now, people could argue, well, it's easy for him because
yes.
he has it. He has a lot of wealth. But the thing is, he had wealth before he ever had money, because he had a wealth in terms of the abundance of his attitude towards other people. And so I believe that if we walk away from the financial wealth measure and we talk about the abundance measure, that having an attitude of abundance can only improve our relationships, because it means that we see ourselves as having the time to develop those relationships.
Mm-hmm.
See ourselves as having the emotional connection to truly connect with people at a real, authentic level, rather than as a superficial transactional level.
Yeah.
You know, if I'm treating people as transactions, yeah. How many friends can I gather on Facebook? Well,
much.
You know, I don't even measure that. And I don't do it because I'm not on Facebook. But if we're counting our relationships as the number of people I can attract, the number of likes I get or whatever, mm-hmm. we're creating really artificial relationships. We're actually creating barriers. If we think of wealth as an abundance of grace,
yes.
and an abundance of contact with others, then we're really talking about deepening and refreshing our relationships, and we're creating an opportunity to have a real relationship, not a transactional relationship,
yeah.
much more quickly, because it's the real me talking to the real you instead of the avatar me talking to the avatar you.
I love that. You know, you mentioned about financial wealth. Just like everybody else, I used to be in a scarcity mindset. It's because of the environment where I came from, and believing that, you know, hustling and bustling will be the only place for me to be successful. And mm-hmm. thank God, that's why I'm a very big advocate of coaching as well, because through coaching, just the first step of understanding what coaching has tremendously helped my perspectives in life. And I remember, I even share this as one of the episodes of this show, that I used to think that for me to be able to contribute to the non-profit organizations as part of my projects, I've got to be financially well. So I, you know, for me, contributing $20 or $50 is not enough. I've got to have 100,000 and so on. But because my mindset is not on abundance. And then, you know, as over time, I started to realize, hang on a second, you know, what is it really that you want to achieve in terms of wealth? I think that time I realized, oh, I still have that scarcity mindset. And then the moment that I allow myself to expand, and then I realize, oh, it doesn't matter how much I can contribute to these organizations, for as long as my purpose is sincere and my really intention is to contribute, you know, while I'm, you know, thriving the coaching business, I'm already helping and thinking that I'm already abundant. So, yeah, I mean, for many people, like, what you have given example for with Marshall Goldsmith, yes, people would say that, oh, it's so easy for you, Marva, to give an example like that. I think it's really shifting our perspectives, and it's the first step from understanding deep inside, and it will radiate outside instead of we seek from the outside, but really, really just suppress or repress the true authentic selves that really wanting, this is not you, this is not you. And I think I completely agree with what you said, transactional, because I always, when I even connect with you, I think I mentioned to you that my connection with you is not transactional, because that's just not my core values. And I think it really takes a lot of time and investment to align with your core values. But I'm like, I'd rather be in a place of working in hard ways, which is being authentic, rather than, yes, you might have full of friends in Facebook, but how much do you really know one another? I guess you might say, oh, none of that. So I think changing or shifting that perspectives into abundance really, really big help for many, so that our understanding with wealth really will change, not just about financial, but really about our well-being.
Well, it's surprising how your priorities can change when you adopt an abundance mindset.
Yes.
When we think about, you know, my situation in the world or the world in general, there is enough and to spare. There's enough and to spare of anything, of time, of goodwill, of good people that we can interact with. And when we think about it that way, what we also find is that I don't need nearly as much as I thought I did. Mm-hmm. And I don't need to work as hard as I thought I did to get there. And there are wonderful things around me that I can enjoy that cost me nothing.
Yes.
I moved a couple of years ago from Utah to Washington State. And I currently live in a place that a lot of people wouldn't be happy with. There's not enough hustle and bustle. It's not a city. I don't go to the symphony. I can't even get to a movie theater. I'm an hour from a movie theater. And you know what? Mm-hmm. I don't care. I walk out my front door in the evening, and I see a family of deer treating my front yard as a salad garden. Mm-hmm. They're out there eating all my plants. And, you know, I look at that, and even in that moment, I could get angry at the deer eating the plants in my yard that I so carefully planted. And instead, I just go, oh, well, we've created a salad bar for the deer. Even though I planted plants that are supposed to be deer resistant, they clearly have developed a taste. And in that moment, I can choose to say, those are beautiful creatures.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't it wonderful that I can stand here and appreciate the beauties of nature and appreciate how calm and quiet it is that mm-hmm. I have deer in my front yard? I have rabbits that run through my yard on a regular basis. I have birds eating at my bird feeder, and they're beautiful. I mean, these are some of the most beautiful creatures I have ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
And if I take just a few minutes to sit and watch, I get so much enjoyment out of that moment of abundance, of appreciation for these creatures that I look at and say, that's a miracle. They can fly, you know? Yeah. They are so aerodynamically structured that they can fly with those tiny little wings. And that's a moment of abundance. And it cost me nothing.
Yes. I love that. That is very true. You know, when I'm speaking with either clients or potential clients or just random people that I have interacted outside, when people starting to complain in life, and I would ask them, so what are you grateful for today?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think many neglecting the importance of even being alive today. Many people forget about that. It feels like we are so entitled that we can live longer. And my understanding is that we're renting here on this planet Earth. And so either you don't see that way, or you just feel that this is just part of your life, that you daily have this life given to you as is, but it's not. And I'm just like you. I really love to be connected with the nature. And I think when you spend time much with the nature, you ground yourself. You know, you are connected with the nature and you feel like, yes, it costs you nothing. And so moving on to the next question, and I think you have already mentioned how you shift from what you've known about wealth and all of that to where you are right now. And I think it's very, very beneficial for many people to have that tips or suggestions for those who are currently experiencing the setbacks and challenges on the path of wealth. What will be your suggestions or tips for them to navigate it better?
The first tip I would give is give yourself grace. Mm-hmm. We all have setbacks. Everybody has setbacks, and we have them frequently.
Mm-hmm.
And if we just give ourselves grace and we think of it as a course correction, not as a failure, you know, and I've learned something here, not I've failed. I think that makes a big difference to our ability to be resilient, to pick ourselves mm-hmm. up and move forward. I mean, I've had at least as many failures as anybody else. When you're pushing hard and you're taking big risks, you're going to fail sometimes.
Yes.
And in fact, you know, there's a philosophy that if you're not ever failing, you're not stretching yourself hard enough. So that would be the first thing, give yourself grace. The second thing that I think has been really transformational for me was, you just mentioned it. It's creating a sense of gratitude and a gratitude practice. Mm-hmm. And to be honest, you know, I have to keep reminding myself because it's so easy to slip into old habits. Mm-hmm. But when I first kind of was introduced to the idea of just keeping a gratitude journal, thinking about a few things that you're grateful for every morning and every evening, it completely transformed my internal voice.
Mm-hmm.
And the more that I took a moment to exercise gratitude, to express gratitude, the more I saw things that I could be grateful for. Mm-hmm. And there was one particular difficult time in my life where there are days when I was just not grateful at all. And I would force myself to continue to mention things that I was grateful for or write them in my journal until mm-hmm. I truly felt grateful from mm-hmm. the inside out. And it takes me a lot less time now to get there to where I truly feel grateful than it used to. There used to be, I would be writing for half an hour before I would finally really feel the gratitude. A gratitude practice, I think, really makes a difference. A third thing I think is this concept of how much is really enough. I think it's really valuable to start with what is the goal? How much is really enough? And then get yourself to what is enough. And truly, if you believe that it's not enough until you have, you know, $10 million, then by all means, go for it. What I have found is that as I practice abundance with things other than financial wealth, mm-hmm. abundance of my time, abundance of the richness of my relationships, things like that, I find that enough comes a lot faster financially.
Mm-hmm.
And then I start to really optimize around, okay, who would I rather work with? You know, mm-hmm. who are the people I want to work with? What are the things I want to be doing? All of those things end up having greater importance to my well-being and to overall my kind of attitude than the number of dollars that I'm earning or that I'm putting into my bank account. And so I think that would be the other thing. It's like, it's really stopping and taking stock and saying, okay, what truly is important to me?
Yeah.
You know, what that, and when we decide and can be consistent about what truly is important to me, recognizing that what might be important today will change next week. You know, because once we get one thing filled, another need comes up, and that's okay.
Yeah.
But stopping on a regular basis to just say, okay, what's truly important and how am I doing relative to what's truly important? Helps give us a guide that is our own guide rather than accepting somebody else's word for it. So those would be the things I think that I would say are most important.
Beautiful. I love it. That truly speak to myself and what I practice as well. Now, Marva, the next question, I think it's pretty relevant or pretty the same as with what you just mentioned in terms of optimism, right? But I just want to ask you, what is your understanding? Because here's the thing, some people don't practice with the word optimism. Some people would have a different terminology for you to keep energized or whatever that term could be related to optimism, but I'm an optimist person. So I'm super curious, as do you have like a morning routine or night routine that keep yourself energized or optimism as well? If so, would you help us or would you share with us for other people watching or listening right now, especially in a place of leadership or small business owners, that will be very, very valuable for them to practice or even experiment that perhaps will work for them?
It's not really a morning routine or an evening routine. I have a practice that I try to, it's almost like a mantra. I try to remind myself throughout the day because there are always things that are going to get in our way. There are always things that are going to irritate us or frustrate us. And there are two things that I try to remember. The first one, I do not remember where it came from, but I started just saying to myself, if this is the worst thing that happens to me today, everything will be all right. And it helps me keep a perspective. You know, there was a time in my life when I would really get pretty easily, like really upset and frustrated over pretty small things. and it's easy to get yourself worked up over stuff that's frankly just nonsense. And so I decided I needed to calm down. And I found that if I would just say that, if whatever it was, if I would just stop and look at it and go, okay, if that's the worst thing that happens to me today, it'll be okay. And then I just would release all that energy around, you know, that's not even something that's worth getting upset about. And if I do that throughout the day, it helps me keep a perspective about what is really important and wasting your energy on being negative or angry or tense or upset just isn't a good use of your time and energy. And so it leaves you with a lot more energy for things that are more valuable. So that's one thing that I do, and I do it on a regular basis. And I do have to say once in a while it goes wrong. I said that one day in a meeting with a person I was working with, and she said, well, this is not the worst thing that happened today because my dog died today. And I was, you know, I had to apologize to her because I had said it as kind of a flippant thing, but you know, that also puts things into perspective. Yes. Your dog dying is worse than being 5 minutes late for a meeting, you know, and then taking the moment to give grace about that is also important. The other thing that I try to exercise came from Viktor Frankl. And I use it almost just like a mantra. You know, there is a space between stimulus and response, and in that space is our freedom to choose. Those are not exactly his words, but those are the words that I try to remember. And so when I get this stimulus and the response that I want to do immediately is a negative one, I will remind myself there's a space between stimulus and response, and I just slow down. And I think about, okay, what is a productive response here rather than a knee-jerk response? And my definition of productive is, does it get me closer to my objectives or my goals?
Yes.
Does it keep me closer to my principles and values?
Mm-hmm.
And that's how you measure productive. Anything that doesn't take you closer to your principles and values, doesn't get you closer to your objectives and your goals, is unproductive.
Mm-hmm.
So screaming at someone, if you have a self-belief that you are a kind person, losing your temper and screaming at someone, regardless of what it was they did, is not productive. It's not going to make me feel better. It's not going to make them feel better. It's not going to get us closer to agreement. And so there is a space between stimulus and response. And in that space is our freedom to choose. And in that choice is our answer.
Love that. That just reminded me of Elrod, I think that's his name, talk. He has this practices that he shared to people during that talk, that you can dwell on it for 5 minutes, the negative, whatever mm-hmm. that's coming through. But after that 5 minutes, remind yourself what is most important right now, that, like what you said, that will lead you to your goals, okay?
Yes.
And remind you, and then commit to taking action for the next forward, so that you're not really dwelling so much emotional, which to be honest, earlier today, I've got a situation that created frustration and upset feeling. And I have to express that. And then I told to myself, what's important right now? It's important right now that this lady gave us feedback, what's supposed to happen. And I'm like, okay, let me do that. And this is not a bad thing. It's just the conversation triggered me something. And then here I am. Actually, just earlier, I felt like that way, but now it's as if that it didn't happen. But I think it really takes a lot of practice though to really switch that, because that's the reason why many people kind of dwell on it, because it's comfortable, right? You chose subconsciously or consciously to be in the victim mindset.
Yep.
But we don't see that keeping ourselves over there, that also dragging us to achieving our goals. And so thank you for sharing that.
And there is a third thing. We will fail. We'll come up short of our own expectations. And when we do, we give ourselves a moment, we give ourselves some grace, and then we move on. There's one other thing that I try to do on a regular basis that I have found really works for me. And that is to stop and say, what can I learn from this situation?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so something went badly. I could be really upset that it went badly. I could beat myself up that it went badly. You know, here are all the stupid things I did.
Mm-hmm.
Or I can stop and say, what can I learn from this?
Yeah.
And if I learn from it, then it's not a failure, or it's not, you know, if I learn from it, then I can say, okay, now how would I apply that the next time? Great.
Yes.
There was something valuable that came out of this.
Yes.
And then I can move on.
Yes. It's really how you see the situation, right? We know this story that people could experience the same thing in the same place, but our perspective is really different. And I think, like what you said, it's that space for us
yep.
to choose. Oh,
love it.
And so Marwa, wow, what an incredible conversations that we are having. And for many people who are really keen to get to know you more, or perhaps to really have better understanding what you do. So Marwa, where can they connect? Which in LinkedIn. So could you share with us where they can connect over LinkedIn?
Yeah, I would just say, you know, look me up. Marwa Sadler, have an unusual name. There aren't rather many of us. reach out, ask to connect. I'm happy to connect with you. That's the only place I'm available. I don't have a website. I don't do any of the other social media. They can email me and I'll do my best to get back to them. And because I have an unusual name, my email is also really easy to remember. It's yes. marvasadler@gmail.com.
Amazing. Thank you for sharing that. And Marva, before I let you go, is there anything that you think within our conversation that we didn't cover that you think perhaps it's worth to share a powerful message for people watching or listening right now?
Well, I think I've shared most of my philosophy. I guess that the only other thing that I would share is one that I learned from Michael Bungay Stanier. And that is awe, A-W-E. It's a question that I ask myself, and it's a question that I ask pretty much everybody that I interact with or interview or whatever else. And A-W-E stands for, and what else? So, and what else can I learn? And what else is important here? And what else would you like to tell me? And what else? Just that one question, and what else? In conversation with other people, in thinking about, you know, myself, and it's the, what is the extra mile? You know, what is the one more thing that I've not yet done, or that I've not yet expressed, or that someone has not yet told me? What is the one more thing that I could learn or apply that stretches us just that much further so that we can be that much better or smarter or more successful today than I was yesterday?
I love that. I'm gonna copy that. I'm gonna steal that. I love that. And what else? It's just like one more step, you know?
Right.
Oh, yeah. Thank
so
you.
When
thank
I
you
think so much. When yeah. I think I've given everything, and what else? And if we just sit with that, something will come to us. And sometimes that something is more important than anything else that you've gone through.
Oh. And what else? That's the last piece of magical term coming from Marva. Oh my God. Thank you. Thank you so much, Marva, for amazing conversation with your wisdom, your philosophies, and being authentic yourself of sharing this incredible conversation with us. And I truly, truly appreciate you. For everyone watching or listening right now, you find it very interesting, you find it very profound, you find it very encouraging, make sure to forward it to more people so that, you know, you will be able to share the knowledge that you have learned from this episode. Until next time, with yours truly, Cindy Marie, here to empower your life. Thank you so much, Marva.
Thank you. I really appreciate your inviting me, and I really appreciated participating and having this conversation with you.
Thank you. Oh, that last message from Marva hit the spot, but let's dig deeper. How did this episode resonate with you? And did it change or shift your perspective on wealth and abundance? Share your thoughts with us and drop your comments below. Don't forget to subscribe, follow our podcast, and leave a review to help our show grow. We're here to keep serving you the best we can. Until next time, stay optimistic, stay true to yourself, keep taking action, and believe in your ability to make a difference. You've got what it takes to pursue your dreams and make an impact. Keep going and be unstoppable.